Well, thank you so much. It's such an honour and such a privilege to be here with you guys today. This is slightly strange for me in a sense that I've done a little bit of going to speak in other churches, but it's tended to be churches where I've known the church pretty well, or known the church leaders pretty well. I know Duncan a little bit. We've spoken a few times at kind of Catalyst events, but I don't really know very much about you as a church. And I quite like that in a way, because it's an exciting opportunity just to come and bring something from God, hopefully, for you, which will encourage you. And that's partly why I've brought some guys with me, a team with me. Do you want to just come up the front? So we've got Chris here, and Luke, and Becky. And one of the things that I wanted to do, part of the reason for bringing these guys, is we've just been kind of praying for you as a church in the lead up to being here, and just really we're seeking God. Have you got anything you want to bring that is going to encourage you as a church? We feel like there's some things we want to bring. So I'm just going to give opportunity just to share some of that briefly first before I get into preaching. We also want to leave time after I've spoken to pray for some individuals in response to the things that I bring, with some words of knowledge and so on as well. So I'll just hand over to these guys and see what you want to bring.
Okay, quickly, I sort of got the word fruit, and sort of the passage in John about I am the vine and you are the branches. And I sort of focus, as a church, to focus on the fruit of the Spirit in your lives and your relationships with God and with each other, and to allow the fruit of the Spirit to come, love, joy, peace, all of those fantastic qualities. And we've talked about joy quite a lot this morning already. And let that fruit grow. And as that happens, that fruit grows, the product, if you like, that we're trying to sell to the people out there, the product of our relationship with God and our relationship with each other, it sells itself. And so as a church, don't sort of worry too much about strategy and working so hard and numbers and how many people are coming to this, that and the other. Really focus on the things that we can focus on, which is how much are we loving God and how much are we loving each other? How much joy have I got in my life? How much peace? Am I grafted into the Father? And am I having that with each other? And as people see that in our lives, the product sells itself and people will get drawn into the church.
We were talking in the car on the way down and our pictures were all very similar. So you'll see a similar line of reasoning here. So I just want to paint a picture for you. I want you to imagine that you've been up since 4 o'clock in the morning, sun's risen, you're out on a boat and you're out fishing. And you're out there all day, you're grafting, you're trying to get some fish to feed your families. And in the early parts of the Gospels, it gives a brief encounter of what it's like for those men that were on that boat to see Jesus walking on the shore. And they know about him. They already know that there's this famous person who claims to be God. And they've got a decision to make. And what I was really felt God was saying is that, what are you going to do in that boat right now, seeing Jesus walking on the shore? And this is for individuals and for the church. What are you going to do? Are you going to sit in your boat and think, no, this is what I do, this is what I know, this is what I'm good at, and I'm just going to stay here and carry on doing that, and I'm fine with that? Or are you going to look at Jesus and see him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and drop everything to follow him? And I just felt, and as this gentleman shared earlier, actually, about the diamonds and a revelation of who God is, actually. Now, what do I do with that? Do I stop everything? And do I drop everything for Jesus? Do I go follow him? And for the individuals, I just thought, for some individual stuff, I just thought there was possibly some pride there. I think some pride needs to be broken down. And actually, you are great at what you do. You've got skills, you've got expertise in what you do, but you still need to drop everything and follow Jesus and go with him. And as a church, as Chris just shared about strategy and planning, actually, those things are important, but what's most important is just staring at Jesus face to face and going, I'm going to give up everything to follow you. So I just want to pray for you as a church that actually you see God for who he is, that mist is eradicated and gone, and that actually you will follow Jesus completely and wholeheartedly.
I got a kind of similar picture to Luke, kind of something kind of for the church and individually. So I got this idea that God really wants to connect with people, like, on a really intimate level, like, today and just in general now. And I think maybe, like, what Ian's going to say is going to help you have this, but, like, I just feel like God wants to really connect with people, and, like, I think people that haven't really experienced God's warmth for a while, I actually think as well, like, he's really directing this towards them to really connect with them and, like, show how he's a father to them. But I think from that and from this intimacy, I think there's a lot of talk of people wanting change, like maybe as a church and also in maybe individual lives, like people are talking, oh, I want change, I want to do something new, I want a new purpose, a new vision, I want to do God's work more. And I think God's saying, connect with me, be intimate with me, be united with me, and then from that, I will give you a new purpose, a new vision in ways like you haven't imagined. So kind of what they said as well. So.
Great. So lots there about just connecting with God, and just kind of strategy is important, and kind of where you're going as a church is important, but actually almost a sense of God drawing you in to say, come, get to know me, connect with me some more, allow it to go deep into your hearts. I just felt as I've been amongst you this morning, just you guys, the sense of family in the room is incredible. I want to commend you for your sense of family together. You know, just seeing people come in, everyone included in kind of conversations together and being family together. I love seeing the kids running around and just bringing life to your community. And I felt that God wanted to commend you for that and say, keep going with that. And to really see that as a real strength. And that's not something that I see in every church I go to. And so don't just, sometimes when you're in the midst of that, you can take it for granted. But be encouraged by that. But I also felt that God wanted to encourage you, which is some of what I'm going to say this morning, that being family together, there's that kind of brotherly and sisterly sense of family that you are together. But being family together also comes from knowing God as a father and knowing who you are as sons and daughters, and that God's got more for you in that. And I know that's part of what the journey that you've been on over this kind of recent season. That's part of what I'm going to speak into this morning. But I feel like God has more for you in that. As you come to know him and his love for you as a father, and you combine that with that kind of sense of family that you have together, there's going to be kind of real power in those things coming together. And what I'm going to do this morning is I'm going to share on the theme of being a child. That's what I've kind of entitled this morning. And to be honest, lots of what I'm going to share this morning comes out of my own personal journey with God and my own personal experience. Much of it is my story, if you like. And also, just to kind of flag up, there's a guy called Simon Holly, who some of you will know, who leads a larger church in Catalyst King's Arms. And we'll be speaking at the Catalyst Festival, I think, again this year. He's been instrumental in kind of his teaching, and much of what I share this morning kind of comes from his teaching, if you like. And I've become good friends with Simon, what I've been learning is, as I go and I share my story, that it's helpful for people. And so I want to do a little bit of that for you, if that's okay this morning. So I became a Christian at a young age. And I've been around church all of my life, born into a Christian family. And I would have described myself all the way through my kind of teenage years and then kind of my adult life as having a good, solid faith. That's what I had, a good, solid faith. I believed in God. I knew that God loved me. And I was kind of doing my best to walk in that. Church was a big part of my life. I was leading church in the midst of all of that. But for me, in the last 3 years, something really significant has changed. And if I would put it down to one thing, I would say that it is this whole fresh revelation of coming to know God's love for me as a father. And I didn't even know that I needed that. I knew that God loved me. Okay, I knew that God loved me, but there's more that I've come into as I've experienced that. And as God's Holy Spirit has kind of worked in my heart, the spirit of adoption. And it surprised me and it's transformed me. It's been a wonderful, wonderful thing. As I've kind of reflected on my life, I think kind of for much of my Christian life, my focus would be very much on Jesus and I've got to be careful how I say this, because we love Jesus, and we want to honor Jesus. Jesus is the King of Kings, all glory and honor is his. But I think I recognize my need for a savior, the kind of legal gospel, if you like, that I needed forgiveness. I recognize there were things in my life which were wrong. I was thankful to him that he went to the cross in my place, made an incredible sacrifice and rose again. And I kind of would sing to Jesus and pray to Jesus, and I would kind of want to be like Jesus and do the things that he did and kind of pray in the way that he prayed and kind of love people in the way that he loved people and pray for the sick in the way that he did. And as good as all of that was, what I think I'd missed is that that wasn't the end of the gospel. You know, Jesus dying on the cross and raising again and my sins being forgiven, that was incredible, and that is incredible in itself. But that was not the end of the message. Because what Jesus wanted to do, the reason he came, the reason he gave himself for me and died on the cross, is so that I could come back into relationship with a father who loved me. That I could be adopted into God's family. That I could know a lavish and loving father. That I could live my life as a son. Or as a daughter, if you're female, and just come to know Father God in a way which was different than anything that I'd known before. It wasn't just the legal part of the gospel that I needed, my forgiveness for my sins. You know, even before I was born, even before I'd done anything wrong, God knew me and loved me. And I'd missed this whole kind of dimension of the reason that Jesus had came. And I've been in church for years. I've been leading church. And I kind of, now I pick up my Bible and I read it and it just jumps out and screams at me every page I turn to. The Father loves you. And this is fresh for me. Maybe this is something some of you in this room, you might have grasped that already. But the more I've kind of looked into it, the more I've thought about it, the more it's become kind of impacting in my life. And I recognized, even in Jesus' life, that I'd missed, in kind of looking at him, I'd missed the relationship that he had with his father. That everything that he did came out of knowing that he was a son who was loved. And knowing that the father was for him and the father was always good. And Jesus kind of ministered to people out of that place. And as I've come into that more myself, what I've realized is that the secret to doing church well and living the Christian life well and loving people well is to live knowing that you're loved. That's the key to it, knowing that you're loved. The secret to, if it is a secret, to loving others well is to living loved. And it's just been a wonderful, wonderful journey. It's kind of, as I've come into that, it's released me into a place of confidence and a place of freedom that I didn't have before. And I want to speak into this morning. I want to read some scriptures that hopefully help us with this. So if you've got your Bibles, just turn with me to Matthew chapter 18. I'm just going to read a few verses from there. They'll come up, I think, on the screen as well behind. But this is a couple of passages, short passages, where Jesus spoke about children. And often we read these verses and we think, that they're talking to us about the fact that Jesus loves children. And he obviously does love children, and he draws children to himself. But I think there's a deeper meaning to these verses as well. So Matthew 18, verse 2 says this: He, that's Jesus, called a little child to him and placed the child among them and said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." And in Mark chapter 10, similar accounts, Jesus says to the crowds, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And I love to get excited about the kingdom of God. I've been teaching into that at my home church. We've been getting excited about the kingdom of God breaking in, the rule and reign of God being on display. And the kingdom of God comes in all kinds of ways, doesn't it? It comes in comfort and joy and peace and righteousness and salvation and healing and in so many dimensions to the kingdom of God. But here Jesus tells us that to receive the kingdom involves being childlike. And what he's saying here, he's not saying we need to be childish or immature. It's not that we need to be childish in our thinking or our behavior or our decisions, because there is plenty that we could read and look at in the Bible that talks about growing up to maturity and talks about being responsible. So what does it actually mean? What does Jesus mean here to be childlike? And I just want to hopefully shed a little bit of light on that, that maybe will help you in your journey. So the first thing I want to talk about is just being secure in your identity as a child. Being secure in your identity as a child or a son or a daughter of a father who loves you. See, often our instincts are to think that we receive the kingdom. Surely if we want to receive the kingdom of God, we need to do something. We need to pray harder, or we need to read our Bible more, or we need to love people better. Surely that's how the kingdom of God comes, by doing more. Do you know that's the way that the world thinks, isn't it? That's the way that the world works, that to receive something, you have to earn it or you have to deserve it. But Jesus doesn't say that we have to do anything. He says we have to become something. He says, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. And being childlike involves becoming increasingly secure as a son or as a daughter, increasingly confident in who you are. Do you know it's a biblical truth that when someone puts their faith in Jesus, they are adopted into God's family? We've heard some verses on that this morning. Great verses in Romans 8 and in Galatians, other verses where it talks about the fact we receive the spirit of sonship, that we're adopted into God's family. But that truth, that biblical fact, and the experience of people when they become Christians doesn't always marry up. And there's an author who has helped me considerably in my journey on this, a guy called Jack Frost. That's, not Jack Frost, the guy that comes at winter and kind of puts the frost out there, but a writer called Jack Frost. And he says this, he says, being saved does not automatically mean feeling secure and loved and accepted as a son or daughter of God. They are two different things. The new birth in Christ makes you a son or daughter of God, but that does not mean that you will enter automatically into the full personal experience of that love relationship with him as a father. Sonship, and by that, that could be sons or daughters, sonship is a heart that feels at rest and secure in God's love. It believes it belongs. Just let that sink in for a moment. Becoming a Christian and feeling secure as a son or daughter, they're not the same thing. Becoming a Christian, putting your trust in Jesus, means you do get adopted into the family of God, but it doesn't always feel like that. And so there's a question this morning, some questions I want to ask you in terms of how secure you feel in God's love this morning. What does it actually look like to feel secure in God's love? I mean, one question would be, do you live with the confidence that God likes you as a person? Not just that God loves you, or for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. We can say that, can't we? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And you can think of everyone else out there but you. Do you live with a confidence that God likes you as a person? My journey was that if I was to draw a map of my Christian walk for you a few years ago, I'd have drawn it like this. And I'd have said, you know, there were peaks and troughs. There were moments where I felt like I was in a good place with God and God must like me. And there were times where there was a sense of, actually, I feel disconnected and far from God. And what I realized is that I was connecting those things to my performance. And so if I was reading my Bible, if I'd been praying or I'd been kind of brave enough to speak to someone about my faith, I would think, you know, I'm in a good place right now. And if I'd done something which actually I knew was wrong, or if I'd kind of not read my Bible for a while, or kind of things were a bit rocky, at home in the way that I'd treated my kids or my wife or whatever it might be, I think, you know, I'm a bit disconnected from God. And it was all related to my performance. And I needed to come to a place where I recognized God loves me as a father despite what I do. That was a revelation to me. I wonder, do you live with that confidence that God likes you as a person? Do you feel you can come to him at any time? You have full access to the Father. Sons and daughters have full access to the Father. I mean, this has really impacted the way that I model this to my own children. I used to have situations where my children would come bursting in through my door. We have an office at the church, but I quite often, if I'm doing preach prep, those kind of things, might be working at home, and the kids might come bursting through, and I kind of want to shoo them away. I'm doing something really important, you know, I'm concentrated. This has changed the way that I handle those situations. I want to be available to my two boys and my daughter whenever they want me. I'm a dad. I need to model something of that to them, because the way that I am with them will impact the way they see God as a father. But do you feel you can come to him at any time? Do you sense the warmth of his love towards you, his delight in you? The Bible says that God delights in you, that he dances over you, that he sings over you with love. Is that the God that you know? Is that the Father that you know? Do you feel at home in his presence? Do you know that he wants to communicate with you? God wants to speak to you. You know, sometimes I used to pray, God, would you just speak to me? Would you tell me what to do? And it would almost be like I had to strive for it. I had to work for it. You know, God delights to speak into your life through the Bible, through his Holy Spirit. And when I came to that place of realization, actually, he's a good father who loves to speak. It changed the way that I operated. It freed me up to just be expectant that God would be speaking to me. And thoughts and things that were coming into my head that I thought, that can't possibly be God, I suddenly realized God loves to communicate. He's a communicative God. Do you feel that he will provide for you all that you need and protect you from harm? Do you really believe that? So many times Jesus said things like, do not worry, your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Look at the flowers, look at the birds. Your Father cares for them. Are you not so much more valuable? And Jesus continually pointed his disciples to look to their Father, something that he modeled. And these are the kind of things that a child who is secure will feel. So I want to ask you that question. Are you confident? Are you living as a son or daughter? Or are you seeing God as a master? Are you living as a slave? Are you living as an orphan? So being childlike is about being secure in our identity. It's also, I just want to talk about another thing that I think this involves, is about being humble and dependent. When Jesus says, therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child, other versions, they write that as, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. We had an experience this week. So my children now, I'm married to Angela. We've got three children who are aged 11, 8, and 6. And so we've kind of left the baby stage behind a little bit a few years ago. And remember that kind of what that was like and how hard work that was and all of that kind of stuff. But this week we got to look after a friend's baby who was 3 months old. Both mum and dad were really quite ill and not able to look after their baby. And somehow we managed to end up being the people that were going to have the baby for the night. And so we were back to that stage of having a baby in the house at night. And do you know, when you think about a baby or even a young child in a family, they are fully dependent on their parents, aren't they? Dependent for food or drink. Obviously, I'm talking about kids as well as babies now, but clothes, getting to school, getting taken to the different activities that they do, for money, for comfort and for love. Babies and children, they rely on the goodness and the love of mum and dad in their lives. And a lot of the time this goes unnoticed, particularly by the children. I'm sure those of you that are parents will relate to that. That particularly, you know, it gets taken for granted so often. But a good parent is always looking out for the needs of their child. And children often don't know the full details of what is happening. I remember last summer we went on a holiday to Italy. So we got some family that live in Italy. And this was the first time that my youngest child, who was five at the time, Samuel, it's the first time that he'd been over to Italy. And he was so excited about it. And do you know what, though? He had no idea where Italy was. If I showed him a map, he would not be able to show you where Italy was. He had no idea of how to get there. He had no idea that you needed to have tickets and passports and documents. He had no idea what the currency was, that they use euros over there and that you have to change money to get kind of euros to be able to spend. He had no idea of the things that we needed to take. But he was excited and expectant about the trip. And what he knew is that as long as I'm close to mum and dad, I'm going to be okay. And you know, that is such a good picture of life. Because so often, we cannot know the details, or we just don't know the details of where we're going. We don't know where we're headed. We don't know what circumstances are coming our way, or where the next bit of money's coming from, or kind of, there's so many unknowns in our lives. But actually, to be childlike means to come to a place where we're humble and dependent and know that if I'm close to my Father, if I'm walking in obedience with Him, then I'm going to be okay. Do you see that? Do you understand that? He's a Father who loves you. Psalm 23 says, "Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And you know, we tend to focus in on the forever bit, don't we? We tend to think one day we will be with Him forever, and it will be incredible. We can dwell in His house and in His presence, and there'll be no more suffering. But do you know, it says, surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, which is right now. So we can experience the fullness of the love and goodness and mercy and compassion of God every single day, right here, right now. Is that the picture of God that you have? Is that the loving Heavenly Father that you know? Our future is secure, but even now His goodness and love follows us every day. Our job, our responsibility is to draw near to Him and walk close with Him and be obedient with Him. So we want to be secure in our identity as sons and daughters. We want to be humble and dependent. And I'm not going to talk much on this now because I want to just give us a chance to respond, but to be eager to receive as well. You know, children are... Okay, that's fine. Yeah, that's fine. Being eager to receive. Children are always eager to receive, aren't they? If you imagine a child coming to their parent for something, they come with their arms open. They come with their arms open, and they've got nothing. They've got nothing to pay for anything. You know, they're so expectant. They're like, I tell you what, one of the things that I'm most grateful for in this day and age is internet shopping. And the reason that I'm delighted about it is because I don't have to take my children into shops anymore. Because when I take them into shops, they want every single thing that they see. And I'm a dad who loves to give gifts to my children and be generous. But there's a limit to how generous I can be when I'm walking around a shop with my kids. And thankfully, we have a father who loves to give gifts even more than I love to give my children, and whose resources are unlimited. But children, they kind of expect, and they come to their parents for everything that they want with their arms open. And do you know, they don't have anything to pay for it. It's going to be my money that pays for it. But we can come to our Father being expectant that we don't have anything to deserve it or to pay for the things that He wants to give us. But He's still lavish. We are heirs. We have a rich inheritance. We have a lavish, loving Father. And I want to encourage us to respond to this. I'm going to stop talking and just give us a chance just to respond to Him for a moment. Just, why don't you just bow your heads where you are and just dwell on what it is that God is speaking to you about this morning. I want to encourage you to come expectant to Him, knowing that He likes you. Not just loves you, He likes you, He delights in you, He sings over you. knowing that he's not a cold or aloof or distant father, but that he's a loving father who loves to welcome you into his presence, to speak to you, to communicate with you, to delight in you. Thank you, Father. I want to ask you, if you want to respond to that this morning, if there's a sense that you recognize that there's a fresh revelation of God as a Father that you want to receive this morning, I want to ask you to stand where you are right now, and I'd love to just begin to pray, and some of these guys are going to come around and pray for you as well. But if you know that actually you need a fresh revelation of God as a Father, just where you are right now, why don't you just stand with me? I think there'd be many in this room who just, for whatever reason it might be, the view of God that you've had, you realized is maybe slightly warped or kind of too small. We have a Father who loves us. Let's just respond to him in this moment. Father God, I want to ask that you would pour out your Holy Spirit in this place right now. Thank you that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of adoption. Would you just release your Holy Spirit around this room, into our hearts? Again, we respond to you. We thank you that you are a loving Father. You are so good. You are so faithful. Thank you that we can come to you knowing that we are secure as sons and daughters. We've been adopted into your family. But we recognize that our experience of that is not always as it should be, for whatever reason. Maybe it's our earthly fathers or mothers or authority figures in our life. And the lens that we see God through gets impacted by that. Sometimes it's other situations that have impacted us. Maybe sometimes it's just wrong teaching that we've picked up along the way. Thank you that you are a God who loves us. You are so faithful. Thank you that we can come to you with humility and dependence. Thank you that we can come to you knowing that we can be expectant that you want to bless us and lavish your goodness into our hearts. We just invite you, come in this place, Holy Spirit, right now. Just as you're responding, sometimes it's really helpful just to speak out quietly. I think there's power in our words. And just begin to speak out to your Father now. You might want to confess and say, Father, do you know, I'm sorry that I've seen you as harsh. I'm sorry that I've seen you as cold or aloof. Sorry that I have had a wrong view of you, whatever it is for you, whatever it's been. Just as we speak it out, just kind of allow that to come out of your body, as it were. And then thank him. Thank you, Father, that is not the case. I'm going to believe the truth. I'm going to believe the good truth that you are God who loves me. Your love for me never ends. Your goodness and mercy follows me every day of my life. Holy Spirit, would you just come and reveal that? Would you seal that in our hearts? Let it go deeper than it's gone before. Wow. You are so good, so faithful. I feel there's some of you, maybe some that are stood, maybe some that are sitting, just for you, you know that the relationship that you've had with your earthly father has impacted the way that you see God. And particularly in the area of some things that have been spoken over you, I feel that there may be some of you here this morning where things have been said that along the lines of maybe the words, you're stupid, or you're not going to amount to much. And you've kind of taken that on. Just feel the Father wants to come and release that from you. Take that lie from you this morning. That sense of worthlessness. You realize you don't really value yourself, and it comes from what's been spoken over you, maybe as a child, by your own father. Just, is there anyone that can relate to that? Just wave at me if you can relate to that. If you know there's a sense of, yeah. Yeah, Father, we just pray, would you release? Would you break those lies off, Lord Jesus? If you're near someone, they just wait, just put your hand on them, just pray with them. Just, Father God, I pray, would you break those lies off? Would you break those lies off? You are valued, you are honored. Your value comes not from what you do or how much you know. Your value comes from who God has made you to be. Your value comes from the fact you're his son, you're his daughter. Holy Spirit, would you come? Just speak the truth right now into hearts. Wow.